out of the ruins and rubble, out of the smoke, out of our nights of struggle, can we see a ray of hope? One pale thin ray reaching for the day. Yes, we can, yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city, not a city of angels. We can build a city of man. We may not reach the ending, but we can start. By brick and heart by heart, now, maybe now, we'll start learning how we can build a beautiful city. Yes, we can, yes, we can build a beautiful city. Not a city of angels, but we can make a city of man. When your trust is all but shattered, when your faith is all but killed, you can give up, beaten and battered, or we can slowly start to build. A beautiful city, yes we can, yes we can build a beautiful city, not a city of angels, but finally a city of man, a city of man, of woman and man.
Good morning. My name is Teresa Belden, and I'm honored to serve on your Board of Trustees. Welcome to Sunday morning service. Our services are at 9:30 and 11:30, and we live stream our 9:30 service. So welcome all our live streamers this morning. Watch our services anytime on demand at our website or on YouTube. Reverend Phil Smithstead returns this afternoon at 1:30 for part two of The Birth of Christ Within, focusing on divine guidance and divine aliveness. The men's group meets Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. and save the date for some upcoming events. Writing into Light, a five-week class by Wendy Brown Baez, begins February 6th with an introductory workshop on Sunday the 5th. Our ministers are offering complimentary wedding and vow renewal ceremonies on Valentine's Day. Make an appointment with the office and bring your partner. A marriage license will be required for weddings. Love Your Life is a three-week workshop facilitated by Margie Black starting February 15th. And Prosperity Plus 2, a 10-week prosperity course, will begin mid-February with two options: Thursday mornings with Karen Oney via Zoom, and Tuesday evenings in person with Reverend Pat and Reverend Tony. A Mardi Gras dance, Friday, February 17th, 6:30 to 9:30 at Breck School. Tickets are available in the bookstore. And the 2023 annual meeting will be Sunday, February 19th at 1 p.m. All are welcome to participate in person or via live stream with live chat. Details of these and all of our upcoming events and activities are in your bulletin on the church website, Facebook page, or weekly e-newsletters. You can also email or call the church office. Now, please join Reverend Kevin in our opening prayer.
Please join me in prayer. I invite you just to settle in, letting go of whatever activity was required to get you to here and now, taking a deep breath of gratitude, just allowing Spirit to hold you and to breathe you. Sweet Spirit, we are grateful for the gift of life, grateful for the gift of this day, grateful for this spiritual community. We once again remember our oneness with each other and our oneness with all that is. We bring into our minds all those in our community who are dealing with sadness, grief, illness. We hold them in a place of comfort and peace. And we expand that consciousness of love to our entire planet. We hold those, especially who are being impacted by violence, we hold them in a place of peace. Peace, peace. We open our hearts and our minds to that vision of truly a world transformed. Transforming this world one person at a time through love, through peace, and through compassion. We hold that vision. We see it being made manifest right now. And for this and so much more, we say thank you. Thank you, sweet Spirit. And so it is. I think this day deserves to be celebrated. Please stand as you choose for our opening song, What the World Needs Now.
Here we go.
What the world needs now
is love, sweet love.
It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now
is love, sweet love.
No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now
is love, sweet love.
It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now
is love, sweet love.
No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are meadows and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now
is love, sweet love.
No, not just for some, oh, but just for.
Thank you.
what the world needs now.
Oh, yeah.
More. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yes. You know, we don't have hoarfrost down south. That's beautiful stuff. Wow. And welcome to those coming in over live stream as well. We're so glad to have you here today. And if you're not here in Minneapolis, find a picture. It's beautiful outside. It's absolutely gorgeous. It looks like a landscape. Somebody's painting. We welcome you here to Unity Minneapolis. We are an amazing community. We are welcoming. And we love to have folks come and join us and be here for the first time or maybe the second time, and we'd like to honor you. And so if you are here this morning for the first time, would you raise your hand? There we go. We've got some folks here. Absolutely. And for those of you live streaming, raise your hand. We can see it, sort of. And for those of you here in the sanctuary, the rose is from the congregation. And we appreciate you being here. Also helps us to recognize you after the service so that we can come and be more personally welcome to you. The envelope that you have has some information about Unity. There's a card in there if you would fill that out. And give it to one of our ushers or on the table, and we have a gift for you, and someone from the staff will come in. We'll get in touch with you this week. For those of you coming in on live stream, there's a digital way that you can do the same thing, electronic, so if you would do that and make sure that we get that, we'd appreciate it. And we look forward to hopefully seeing you in person one day. So welcome. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here in this space. We feel your energy, and we feel the energy here. Unity is an amazing, amazing community. The energy continues to grow, continues to come from a place of love, and continues to reach out to our world and hold those places in our world that are immediately and further out, that are experiencing violence, all kinds, man-made violence and nature-made violence. And so we would hold them in our hearts today, remembering that we are a community that believes in prayer and the power of prayer. So we hold these individuals and those of our group that are traveling. Do you realize we have people going around South America? We have people traveling in New Zealand. We have people traveling. There's another place, and I forget where it was, but we have people all over the world from our community traveling. So let's hold them also in our hearts and know that they are safe and come home. I would like to ask you now to join me as we say together our core values found in your order of service. And as we say them, let's say them from our heart, knowing that this is who we are as individuals and especially as the collective Unity Minneapolis. And so together, we are loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joyful. Let's say joyful like we mean it. Joyful! There you go. And we are joyful. And so now, we have the reading of our daily word.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You are invited to mentally add your prayers to our prayer box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court, where you may add your written request. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is power. We affirm, my thoughts and words reflect my divine inheritance. When I listen to my inner conversation and reoccurring thoughts, I may hear fear-based limiting talk, or I may hear positive words encouraging me to live joyfully and confidently. The choice is mine. Through my divine gift of power, I take command of my thoughts and my life. I release thoughts of powerlessness, and as I do, my negative self-talk diminishes. I affirm my divine inheritance of faith, wisdom, understanding, and strength with my thoughts, words, and actions. The power to live a full life is mine. I embrace insights I've gained through experience. I own my mistakes without shame or embarrassment. I am eager to learn. I am willing to try new things and stretch myself. In power, I thrive. And in scripture tells us in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And in the word for today is power.
Love is but the song we sing. Fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or hear the angels cry. No, the dove is on the wing. Try to love one another right now. Some will come and some will go. We shall surely pass. When the one who left us here returns for us at last, we are but a moment's sunlight fading in the grass. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. If you hear the song we sing, understand. You hold the key to love and fear. It's in your trembling hand. One key unlocks them both, you know. It's at your command. Come on. Get together, try to love one another right now.
Come on, smile on your brother.
Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Right now, right now.
Come on, everybody. Let's get together and love everybody. Join me now, taking that energy, the beauty of the song, power of the words. Let us step into our heart. us step into, move into that place of oneness. A place of peace and calm. And as we move into that on a conscious level, allow yourselves to open to the energy of the person next to you, behind you, in front of you, and then expand to feel the energy of this room. What a beautiful tapestry, colors that flow from each of us, that weave into a pattern of love. And each strand of that tapestry increases its strength and its beauty. Take a deep breath. Let go of all that does no longer serve. Hold to love. Hold to love. One more deep breath. Feel that body tense, the tension in your body drain. The thoughts and the mind slow. Thank them. And release them. And be in the moment. For it is the only one we have. This one. And the next one. Deep breath. And on this morning, let us be in the silence. In the silence that holds us as love. Just be in the silence. And as we return now to here, in this place, in this time, I ask you to hear these words from Sister Mary Gorgon from the Assisi Spiritual Center here in Minneapolis. And she writes this: "We are about to enter the 15 millionth millennium of the universe. We are about to enter the 4.5 millionth millennium of the Earth. We are about to enter the 4 millionth millennium of life. We are about to enter the 2,600th millennium of humans. And we are about to enter the third millennium of the Common Era. We are who we are today because of all that has existed before us. We carry in our bodies and spirits struggles and changes, joys and stresses, love and hates that have occurred throughout all time. We are called to live with the knowledge and the awareness that we are a part of all that is, and that our decisions have an effect on the quality of life for all beings. We are called to live this connectedness that exists between all members of creation. We are called to put our hands upon creation and speak to it in words and touch, telling it how easily it is, how lovely it is, because it cannot remember that. We are called to remember that loveliness. Loveliness for one another, until each of us can remember, believe, and live in love. And so let us live in love. And so it is.
Is long with many a winding turn that leaves us to who knows where, who knows where. But I'm strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. We'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy. There is no return while we're on our way to there. Why not share? Thank you. if I'm laden at all. I'm laden with the sadness that
Dean, always good to have you in the house.
So nice to be here.
Lori, okay having you here. So, as some of you may know, each year your ministerial team here at Unity Minneapolis selects a theme for the year. Did you know that? And this yearly theme for 2023 is all about committing to your dreams. Committing to your dreams. Get that, your dreams, not your neighbor's dreams, not your family's dreams, not your dreams sort of positioned by social media or reality TV, your dreams. Now here's the kicker. If they are my dreams, who is responsible for making that stuff happen? Look in the mirror. And so there's that doggone personal responsibility thing again. I often say that Unity teachings are not for the faint of heart. If you've been spending time with us, you know that in the beginning of 2023, we participated, some of us, in our Burning Bowl service. And for those of you that are newer to us, that's where we let go from the previous year of what no longer serves us. We don't want to take that into the new year. And then the week after that, some of us participated in what we refer to as our White Stone service, where it's about claiming what we want for this new year. So there's this process of letting go of what no longer serves and claiming what it is we want for this coming year. What do we want to create? And that is the perfect setup in my mind for focusing on committing to your dreams. We're now 3 weeks into the new year, and I think it's a perfect opportunity to check in with folks, and I'm not asking for any show of hands or anything here, but checking in about things like New Year's resolutions, New Year's intentions, what you claimed in your white stone. Checking in and saying, first off, do you remember what those were? And what have you been doing to bring those to life? Because this is all about committing to your dreams, but also once we commit, then we are better able to bring them to life, to bring them into manifestation. And I would be willing to bet that if you think about what you thought about and committed to in your intention, in your resolution, in your white stone, that has some direct link, knowingly or unknowingly, to your dreams, to your vision. Has some direct link from what's in within you that's being called forth. It's said that desire from within, for whatever it is God knocking at the door of our hearts. Something that is knocking, waiting to be birthed, waiting to bring forth. your intention, your resolution, your white stone, again, linked to that longing, that desire. Our January theme is all about being pulled by a vision, and today is all about the power of collective vision. For me, it is absolutely impossible to talk about the power of a collective vision without talking about the power of an individual vision. I firmly believe that the collective vision impacts the individual, and the individual impacts the collective. There is an interface always, always, always between those two. Both of them have the power to either enhance or inhibit the other's vision. Does that make sense? I'm planting some seeds here right now. I'm going to come back to that. Last week, Reverend Tony talked about and asked us about our dreams and sort of asked the question, what are they? What are they for us? What are the visions that we hold for our life? She also talked about how we oftentimes will sort of interchangeably use both vision and dreams. And I think of dreams as the building blocks that build towards or lead towards that larger vision that we may have in mind. So what are your dreams? What is your vision? What is your vision for your life? One of my favorite prosperity teachers is Mary Morrissey. And she tells us if our dreams and visions are clear, and that if we have a clear plan of action, a clear path to get there, those dreams and visions are too small. They are not big enough. And I believe that, because part of that dream and vision is God's stuff within us waiting to be birthed. If your dreams and vision, if they're really clear as to how to get there, they are not big enough. And I teach that when I'm working with corporate leaders, and I teach it right here, obviously. So again, thinking about how big are your dreams, how big are your visions? Our truest dreams and visions do require that we tap into that God stuff. It requires that we have faith in something that is bigger than what is currently manifesting. We have bigger expectations from the world in terms of what we have in the moment. Reverend Tony also talked about this idea of being pulled by a vision versus being pushed by pain. Pulled by a vision or pushed by pain. Now, when you think about those two options, which one seems a little bit more uplifting, life-affirming, a heck of a lot more fun? It's about being pulled by a vision as opposed to being pushed by that pain. In a world, in a life where we have choice, I choose to be pulled by that vision. What do you choose? You might find yourself thinking as I'm talking with you, I don't have a vision. I used to have a vision, but I don't know if I have one anymore. I don't have enough time or energy or money for a vision. My spouse won't let me have a vision. To be clear, one's personal vision is all about answering the question, why am I here? Why do I exist? What is my purpose in life? Why was I born? One's personal vision is likely tied to those dreams that keep coming back. It's tied to that nudging that the universe keeps poking at you. It's those subtle things, happenstance, synchronicity, all those things I believe are linked to our dreams and our visions. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter how old you are, how wealthy you are, how educated you are, how mobile you are, if you are still breathing and in a body, and it looks like most of us are still in that condition, we have something to do. We have something to do that we are being called for to do. And I believe wholeheartedly that that is linked to our vision, our dreams. We have that as long as we still have breath. About 30 years ago, I did some personal work, and it resulted in a personal vision and mission statement. And this statement has guided my life for many years, And it reminds me of who I am, who I have committed to be in the world. And I find it especially useful in certain situations. I'll share more about that in just a moment. But my personal vision or mission statement, oftentimes we confuse or we interchange vision, mission, whatever it is, but it's something out here that we are aspiring towards. And so my personal mission statement is, I am an open, honest, passionate, loving man. I am here to be of service and to help heal the planet. And I do that through teaching, preaching, coaching, and counseling. And oh, by the way, I added the preaching stuff the last couple years after I was ordained. I have used that statement many, many, many times over the years. And sometimes, or most frequently, I would find myself using it when, especially pre-COVID, when I used to travel a lot around the globe, and I would be going on another trip, another hotel, another plane, and so forth, and I would sometimes get weary of that. Now, some of the travel I miss, most of it was pretty mundane, and at the same time, it was work, important work that I believed in, because it was all about helping leaders around the globe with the belief that better leaders will make for a better world. And I took that, I take that mission very, very serious. And so there would be times when I'd be having to go get on the plane, go to the airport, and I have to remind myself, why am I doing this? What am I about? And it would re-engage me and give me a focus. I had the opportunity not that long ago to revisit my vision and mission statement. It was right here with this community. And so this is probably a couple months back. And I had to get up at 6:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning to go preach an 8:15 service. And I know you find this extremely hard to believe, but I was a little cranky about that. And so I sat in my bed, and I recalled and repeated my vision and mission statement, and it reminded me of who I am and what I'm called to be doing. And I got my assets out of bed and got to church. And after I was here, creating that space for those folks that were in attendance there, I felt a sense of shame because I was kind of grumbly about this when I realized that we created this space for folks to have community, be connected with each other, and connected with Source. So keep that in mind. What are your dreams? What are your visions? Do you have some sort of mission statement to articulate that? We are all going somewhere in life. And yet, some of us are going somewhere intentionally and deliberately, and some of us are wandering here and there without that clear sense of direction or purpose. And having a vision and a sense of purpose brings meaning and richness to life, even with the most difficult stuff. I'm sure you've heard this before, but it has been said that the two most important days in our lifetime is the day we are born and the day we realize or uncover why we were born. What is our purpose? Martin Luther King Jr. tells us that the most pressing question in everyone's heart, whether we know it or not, is what will my contribution be in this lifetime? What will my contribution be in this lifetime? A vision is a picture of a future state, and visions demand focus and discipline. The real power of any vision is that it inspires action, but not just any sort of action. It inspires action that is targeted, purposeful, and motivated. All of this is in service of what's out here. All of this is in service in that future state vision. Ready for a story? Good, I like the audience participation. So, there was this very, very wealthy man. And this wealthy man lived on this beautiful estate with a $1 billion home. It was thousands of acres. It was just beautiful. It had every sort of amenity that you could imagine in terms of this beautiful, rich, amazing place. It was the epitome of what I would say is conspicuous consumption. But it was beautiful. The house had room after room, and it went from pools and spas and all sorts of things there. And it was part of this particular veranda area. There was this beautiful, beautiful large pool. Just gorgeous. And this pool was filled with crocodiles. And one day, this very wealthy man was touring some folks around his beautiful estate, and they're kind of wandering around, and they come to this area where the pool is. And some of the guests that were with the rich man looked at him and said, "What's with the crocodiles? I don't get it. What's with all these wild, crazy crocodiles filled in this pool?" And the rich man said, "I have always appreciated and respected those who are brave. I think that one is the most compelling assets an individual can have. In fact, bravery is so important to me that I have stated this many times, that anyone who is willing to jump in the pool and swim across, I will give them whatever they want because they were so brave to take that on." So the crowd that was with this gentleman kind of looked around, looked at him, looked at the pool. The crocodiles are kind of swirling around, and they kind of collectively sigh and kind of like, "Nope, not doing that." So people start moving on to the next phase of the tour, and all of a sudden there's this splash. There's a splash. And all of a sudden you see this person buzzing across the pool, trying to get to the other side, and it was kind of this combination between Moses parting the Red Sea and Jesus walking on water, and all of a sudden, boom, this gentleman hops out of the pool. And everyone there is amazed. They are amazed that this guy had such bravery to make this jump and cross the pool. And so people gather around him, and the owner of the house basically comes up to him and says, "Wow, you are so brave. I am so impressed with your bravery. I just so appreciate that. In fact, I appreciate it so much, I will give you whatever you want. Whatever you want that's within my means, my great means, I will give that to you. What is it that you would like? What is it that you would like?" And the swimmer was kind of still out of breath, and he said, "I'd like to know who pushed me in the pool." Once again, a vision is a picture of a future state. And in this case, it's getting to the other side of the pool. But a vision inspires us with that focused attention and motivation to move in that direction. So let's shift a little bit here and start talking a little bit more specifically about that collective vision and the power of a collective vision. Everything that I said about the importance of an individual vision holds true for the collective, and then some, and then some. I believe that wherever two or more are gathered, there is an amplifying effect. Where there's two or more gathered, there is an amplifying effect, whether that be prayer, work, play, and a collective vision. I'm not going to attempt to say this name because I will probably ruin it. And anyways, the author, the French author who wrote The Little Prince, if you know of that book, tells us, and it talks about this idea of that collective vision. He says, if you want to build a ship, don't herd people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the immensity of the sea. Teach them to long for the immensity of the sea. A collective vision has the possibility of harnessing that combined power of many to visualize and imagine what might be, and then the power to make it so. However, without a clear vision of that future state, the universe has no choice but to meet us where we are in terms of our limitations and our capricious whims. From the book of Proverbs, we hear, and you've heard this many times, I'm sure, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And without a clear future state aligned with source and our own divinity, that own innate divinity, we are likely to wander aimlessly. We're lost in the wilderness. And this is at an individual level as well as a collective level. And to be clear, a vision in and of itself is not good enough. A vision is not good enough. It requires deliberate planning and specific actions in order for that vision to be realized. A vision without a plan, a vision without a plan is nothing more than a daydream. A plan without a vision could be considered a nightmare. And so a collective vision becomes the lens through which unlimited options are weighed and considered and used in order to make the best decisions on behalf of the group or the organization. So in a world of unlimited possibilities, we have limited time, money, resources, people. And so how are we going to deploy, how are we going to make decisions that serve our mission? It becomes a great way of getting things clear in terms of priority of what we say yes to, individually and organizationally, and what we say no to. Vision keeps us focused on what truly matters. Our individual collective vision exists within a larger context, and that larger context is a powerful force. That powerful force clamors for our attention. Positive or negative, we get to choose. Have you heard anything in the last month or two about things like the economy, inflation, anything that has just been kind of me? So it's a little bit difficult for me sometimes to keep in mind that God as source is unlimited. There is enough, and yet my grocery bill keeps going up week after week after week. 2 weeks ago, my corporate job announced that they were doing some significant layoffs. And for a period of time, I had this sense of concern. And that sense of concern started to get a little bit more intense. And I started to worry a little bit. And then I remembered something that Eric Butterworth wrote about in Spiritual Economics. And I literally went and grabbed this book. In my moments of fear, I went and grabbed this book off my bookshelf. And he talks about and tells us that what is occurring in the stock market and in the economy is nothing more than an outpouring or an outpicturing of what's going on in the collective. Make sense? Just a representation of what's going on in the collective, in that collective consciousness. And he tells us that we get to choose to not let those negative messages get in the way of our good. He tells us, your personal welfare begins with your consciousness, begins with my consciousness. It's not what happens on Wall Street. It's not the state of the economy. It has to do with its inception in the state of your mind. You can be prosperous when business is poor, and you can be you can experience financial difficulties even when business is booming. That gave me comfort. That gave me comfort then. Prosperity for you is simply a matter of addition or subtraction. And we do that by our thinking. You are either adding to your good or you're taking away from it. The law is impossible to prevent. It begins with our thinking. Have you ever heard that before? Thoughts held in mind? Thank you very much. And so, a collective vision is also impacted by the collective unconsciousness and the collective unconscious. And that collective unconscious is a term that was coined by Carl Jung. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of our movement, called it the race mind. And this is defined as the collective unconscious memories, feelings, experiences of humankind. And I believe that these unconscious thoughts, feelings, this stuff that is out here in the ethers, that impacts us, and then our individual thinking impacts the collective. Imelda Shakelin, who's also a Unity theologian who has since passed, talks about that physical events come out of the mind of race, that race mind concept, and they are outward forms that are being carried forward by the collective. And she suggests that this is the law in terms of we co-create with spirit. You've heard that before. So everything that's going on in the outer world, we have some responsibility. Ignorance or unawareness of the law doesn't matter. We are still at least somewhat responsible for what's going on. So as you look at the violence that is top of mind for me this morning in terms of California or Ukraine or whatever's going on, we are, on some level, because of our collective consciousness, we have some responsibility. And this includes, you know, significant human challenges, whether they be human-made, nature. It includes things like racism and injustice and so forth. Our collective consciousness, our collective visioning have created some horrific things. Just look at some of history. Just look at your news feed, and you can find it right there. And our collective vision, our powerful collective vision has created some amazing things. We've created beautiful architecture. We've allowed people to go into space, be in the moon, with beautiful art, things along those lines, such beauty that we are capable of creating. We've made such strides in improving the human condition. Here at Unity Minneapolis, we have a powerful collective vision, and we are doing amazing things inside and outside of these physical walls. You know about our vision and our mission. It's about a world transformed. What's especially important to note that I know this is true, both from experience as well as I believe it true now, that our board that serves our community, they use our mission and vision as criteria to make decisions about how we will spend our resources. And again, having a vision and mission helps us get clear and focused, so we have much more prioritization in mind when it comes to making choices. So they use that to inform all of their decisions. Well, I think one of the greatest evidence of that collective power is what has happened over the last handful of months in terms of deciding, envisioning, we want a building that is fully accessible. Have you heard about this? For those of our guests, we have committed. Part of our committing to dreams is having a building that is fully refurbished and fully accessible to everybody. And we just went through this process, and we have a commitment over $2 million to make that dream a reality. So again, it's about us doing important things, powerful things as that collective. As a reality check, our vision of the world and transforming the world is not done yet, in case you weren't aware. And last week during services, we honored the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. and his vision for the world, his vision of and his words, and his words and his life have always inspired me. And so I left here last week feeling the sense of being on purpose and feeling the sense of connection and so forth in terms of what we chose to do in terms of honoring that. And then I have to say that as I connected back to, you know, some news and things like that, I was reminded of how much progress needs to be made. When you really look at what the numbers tell us in terms of, you know, the disparity between certain groups of people in terms of life, income, opportunity, hope, justice, things like that, we still have lots of work to do. Lots of work to do. Our work is not yet done. So, in closing, your assignment this week, one assignment?
Sure.
Optional. And so, I sincerely invite you to think about and reflect, what are your dreams? What are your dreams? What are the visions that, what's being called forth from within you, that source is placed there? How are you bringing those dreams, those visions to life? What are you doing? What's your plan to move forward around those dreams this coming year? Especially if we're committing to those dreams. Also, think about how your dreams and visions align with those of Unity Minneapolis. Because I believe our individual dreams and vision can support this collective, and this collective supports our dreams and visions. If that was not so, we would not be here. We would not be here together. How do they amplify each other is what I would ask. And finally, may the year 2023 not just be a year of committing to our dreams, your dreams, my dreams. May this year be a year that these dreams actually come to life. And so it is. Amen.
fire, create love's desire, take you higher and higher to the world you belong. Heart's fire, create love's desire, higher and higher to the world you belong. We come together on this special day to sing our message loud and clear. Looking back, we've touched on sorrowful day.
Oh, wow.
But this should disappear. You will find peace of mind if you look way down in your heart and soul.
Still in the heart and heart,
cause the world seems cold. The world, plant your flower, and you'll grow a bird. Child is born with a heart of gold. The way of the world can make him grow so on this special day. I share the message loud and clear. Looking back, we've touched on sorrowful days. You will find them disappear. You will find peace of mind if you look way down in your heart and soul.
Hesitate,
cause the world seems cold.
Stay young at heart,
cause you're never old. Never. That's the way of the world. Plant your flower and you'll grow a pearl. The way of the world
makes a heart grow.
Heart's a fire, create love's desire, take you higher and higher to the world in which you belong. Heart's a fire, create love's desire, higher and higher to the world you belong. Heart's a fire, love's desire, higher and higher, yeah. That's the way of the world.
We are blessed. We are so very blessed here in this community. Part of our connection, our vision, holds that blessing. And so for me, I want to say thank you, each of you, for being part of this vision and this collective. And it is time now for us to continue that cycle of blessing. Continue the giving and the receiving part of our blessing. It's time to offer the gift to Unity Minneapolis. How you do that in so many ways. Financially, there are so many ways we can do that. You know that. Those of you who come in live stream, there is a secure online giving at our donate button on the website. for those of us here. There's a QR code. There's an envelope. There's the mail. There is our consistent giving. And behind all of that is an appreciation and a love for this community and a recognition of the vision that we have, that when we receive, we give back. We give back to each other, and we give back to the community at large in so many ways. And so we're blessed with that. I'm going to ask our ushers to come down. And as they do, I ask you to take that image of your financial gift in your hand. However you're doing that, hold that. Feel the energy of it. Feel the energy of it as it comes together in a powerful, powerful gift. And let us say together our offertory blessing. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And so it is.
Once again, we take a moment and we bless these gifts. We bless these gifts and we send them forth to serve our collective vision of a transformed world. And we recommit ourselves to that connection with each other, connection with all that is, and remembering that we are all just walking each other home. And so it is, and we say thank you, sweet spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to invite our on-duty prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early to hold space in the sanctuary. They're here to pray with you if you so choose. If you are streaming with us, we have chaplains available via Zoom right now. So please, I promise it'll be a blessing to you as well as to our chaplains. Thank you for your service, and you may be seated.
Watch out. It takes two of us to get this done. Right?
Oh, wait. Kids.
Yes. Just a kid.
Well, one kid.
One kid. Come here. One kid.
We all have an inner kid in us, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Our youngin' in the nursery was like, no, I'm good. I want to stay up there. I'm playing. Leave me be. I was like, okay. So I want to tell you that we have a really fabulous youth and family ministry, and it is because of our volunteers. We have a phenomenal group of people here in this community to support young people. And so we've got some really fun things coming up. Next service, when we have our full youth program, kids from 0 to 18, our preschool to fifth grade are doing an experience of sacred spaces. So last week we did the labyrinth and walked the labyrinth. This week we're looking into Native American prayer practices. And so we're going to do a really culturally respectful version of a sweat lodge so the kids can get an experience of what that's like. Because part of our mission here at Unity is to help kids understand in a respectful way the diversity of human spiritual experience. So that's going to be great. And then our Uniteens and YOU are into their Fair Play series. So they're looking at the diversity of experience within their age group and talking about, do differences matter? And how can we be pulled by vision and uncover our biases so that we can have this idea that we are all one and connected? So hope you will bring your young people to that. And if you know of young people who could use a little spiritual pick-me-up, send them my way. Thanks, everyone.
Come here. Wait a minute. Wait. Wait a minute. Just 1 minute. We have been so blessed. We have been and are so blessed to have this young woman with us as our youth director. Yes? Yes. And now we're going to share her. We're going to share her. An opening came up at the regional level for someone to be the youth and family ministry coordinator on a part-time basis. Guess who? Now, what that means is that she will also be part-time with us because she can't do 2 full-time jobs at the same time. So she is going to be going effective February 1. She will be part-time with the region, coordinating, spreading the word, spreading her energy at the regional level, keeping us connected even more closely with the region, and then she will be doing her amazing work here. What I'm going to ask of you all is, because she is moving into a part-time role, we're going to need our volunteers to step up a little bit and support that. We're going to need some new volunteers to help support that. This is an important work that she does here and at the region. And so please reach out, give thanks to her for all that she's done, and let's support her as she goes forward into this new and exciting expansion of what she does.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So when Cassie first shared the news with me, I was very thrilled for her. And what also came up for me was this idea that this is not the first time that Unity Minneapolis has tied talent to our universe. So just another example, and just best wishes on that. If you would, please stand and you, as you choose, for our prayer for protection and our peace song. And especially, folks, with our peace song, I just invite you just to hold our world in your mind. Hold those places that have been impacted by violence, and just hold this state of peace and consciousness for all. Will you do that with me?
Yes. Okay.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light.
The love of God enfolds us. I am love.
The power of God protects us.
I am power.
The presence of God watches over us.
I am presence.
Wherever we are, God is.
I am divine, and all is well.
And let us sing from our hearts.
Now there is peace on earth, and it has begun with me. Now there is peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our creator, family all are we. Let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. Now peace begins with me. Let this be the moment now. Be my joy is now to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Oh, there is peace on earth, and it has begun with me.
Thank you.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Corner the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day.
Say it again.
It's gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is the rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. Look all around, there's nothing but blue skies. Look straight ahead, nothing but blue skies. I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
The freezing rain.
Freezing rain. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Just a little bit of hoarfrost.
Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. Oh, it's gonna be a bright,